Chapter 57. Had been spent among squalid crowds, and in the midst of noise and brawling, seemed to enter on a new existence there. The rose and honeysuckle clung to the cottage walls, the ivy crept round the trunks of the trees, and the garden flowers perfumed the air with delicious odors. Hard by, was a little churchyard, not crowded with tall unsightly gravestones, but full of humble mounds, covered with fresh turf and moss, beneath which, the old people of the village lay at rest. Oliver often wandered here, and, thinking of the wretched grave in which his mother lay, would sometimes sit him down and sob unseen. But, when he raised his eyes to the deep sky overhead, he would cease to think of her as lying in the ground, and would weep for her, sadly, but without pain. It was a happy time. The days were peaceful and serene. The nights brought with them neither fear nor care, no languishing in a wretched prison, or associating with wretched men, nothing but pleasant and happy thoughts. Every morning he went to a white-headed old gentleman, who lived near the little church, who taught him to read better, and to write, and who spoke so kindly, and took such pains, that Oliver could never try enough to please him. Then, he would walk with Mrs. Maylie and Rose, and hear them talk of books, or perhaps sit near them, in some shady place, and listen whilst the young lady read, which he could have done, until it grew too dark to see the letters. Then, he had his own lesson for the next day to prepare, and at this, he would work hard, in a little room which looked into the garden, till evening came slowly on, when the ladies would walk out again, and he with them, listening with such pleasure to all they said, and so happy, if they wanted a flower, that he could climb to reach, or had forgotten anything he could run to fetch, that he could never be quick-ended about it. When it became quite dark, and they returned home, the young lady would sit down to the piano, and play some pleasant air, or sing, in a low and gentle voice, some old song which it pleased her aunt to hear. There would be no candles lighted at such times as these, and Oliver would sit by one of the windows, listening to the sweet music, in a perfect rapture. And when Sunday came, how differently the day was spent, from any way in which he had ever spent it yet. And how happily too, like all the other days in that most happy time. There was the little church, in the morning, with the green leaves fluttering at the windows, the birds singing without, and the sweet-smelling air stealing in at the low porch, and filling the homely building with its fragrance. The poor people were so neat and clean, and knelt so reverently in prayer, that it seemed a pleasure, not a tedious duty, their assembling there together. And though the singing might be rude, it was real, and sounded more musical, to Oliver's ears at least, than any he had ever heard in church before. Then, there were the walks as usual, and many calls at the clean houses of the laboring men, and at night, Oliver read a chapter or two from the Bible, which he had been studying all the week, and in the performance of which duty he felt more proud and pleased, than if he had been the clergyman himself. In the morning, Oliver would be afoot by 6 o'clock, roaming the fields, and plundering the hedges, far and wide for nosegays of wild flowers, with which he would return laden, home, and which it took great care and consideration to arrange, to the best advantage, for the embellishment of the breakfast table. There was fresh groundsel too, for Miss Maylie's birds, with which Oliver, who had been studying the subject under the able tuition of the village clerk, would decorate the cages, in the most approved taste. When the birds were made all spruce and smart for the day, there was usually some little commission of charity, to execute in the village, or, failing that, there was rare cricket playing, sometimes, on the green, or, failing that, there was always something to do in the garden, or about the plants, to which Oliver, who had studied this science also, under the same master, who was a gardener by trade, applied himself with hearty goodwill, until Miss Rose made her appearance. When there were 1,000 commendations, to be bestowed on all he had done. So 3 months glided away. 3 months which, in the life of the most blessed and favored of mortals, might have been unmingled happiness, and which, in Oliver's were true felicity. with the purest and most amiable generosity on one side, and the truest, warmest, soul-felt gratitude on the other, it is no wonder that, by the end of that short time, Oliver Twist had become completely domesticated with the old lady and her niece, and that the fervent attachment of his young and sensitive heart was repaid by their pride in, and attachment to, himself. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.